Welcome to Prostate Cancer Without Taboo, a podcast produced by Procure with the goal of helping, supporting, and informing men at risk, to newly diagnosed people, survivors, and their families.
Hello, and welcome to Procure Health Talks. I'm Kim Sullivan, your host, and before we dive into today's content, I want to take a moment to thank our generous donors and collaborators for making this webinar possible. The topics covered in these webinars are based on the questions and concerns raised by patients who contact our support line. So please note that you can always subscribe to our YouTube channel to stay updated on future broadcasts. Today, I am delighted to introduce Dr. Paul Torin, uro-oncologist and researcher at the CHU in Quebec City. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Torin, before we jump into our first questions, I want to just address some of the specifics. So let's start with a fundamental question. When do we consider a prostate cancer to be advanced?
Great. Well, thanks for the privilege of being here today. Advanced prostate cancer is a term that we tend to use for cancer which is no longer just localized in the prostate, but which is outside of the prostate in other areas of the body. It can also be used in some other situations, but in general, it's a cancer that can't be easily treated with only one therapy at the aimed at the prostate.
And are there any telltale signs, like any indication that a patient should watch for?
So in prostate cancer, a lot of patients which are diagnosed do not have any symptoms. Mm-hmm. And so often when symptoms come, these come at a very later stage of the disease. And this can be things like bone pain or other things like related to bladder obstruction. But in fact, a lot of patients who have symptoms related to the prostate don't have prostate cancer. It's just having to urinate more frequently is not necessarily something that's prostate cancer all the time.
So when should one worry?
Well, the way to get checked out is to get checked out with a PSA test, which helps you screen and identify prostate cancer before it causes problems. And okay. So that certainly helps address a concern about worry and diagnosis of prostate cancer.
So an aggressive recurrence, because there's different kinds of recurrence. If we're talking about an aggressive recurrence without metastasis, would that be considered advanced?
So once the prostate cancer is recurred after having already been treated, the treatment is not as simple because it can't be fixed with just a surgery or radiation. And that sort of is considered advanced prostate cancer. And so it's a bit of a grab bag term, but it does include those patients who have recurrences after initial local therapy.
Okay. Let's talk about therapy. Hormone therapy to start, if we may. The role of hormone therapy, is it prescribed upfront? Is it what the go-to when we talk about advanced prostate cancer?
Sure. So hormone therapy, first of all, is a treatment which essentially decreases testosterone in the body. It's very important for prostate cancer cells to have testosterone. It's like the fuel for their cancer. And so once we cut that therapy with what we call hormone therapy, it stops the cancer in its tracks in many ways and slows it down a lot. And so we give it to patients where obviously we can't cure them with local treatment alone. And there are different contexts, but briefly, patients who have disease outside of the prostate, or patients who have a recurrence after already having had previous therapy.
And what's the difference between a standard hormone therapy and a next generation? We hear that often, next generation.
Right, so there's a lot of different terms that are thrown out there. Hormone therapy is usually referring to medications which decrease the testosterone. When you talk about next generation hormone therapy, other people use terms like androgen receptor pathway inhibitors or androgen receptor antagonists. These are all terms referring to a different type of medication. So there's one medication that will decrease the levels of testosterone, but there's another medication which is sort of the next generation, if you will, which stops the action of these testosterone in the cancer cells. And so it's a different form of blocking the effects of androgens on prostate cancer cells. And these are specific inhibitors of a specific protein called the androgen receptor, essentially.
It always scares people when you say that we're going to stop your testosterone, because in many people's minds, that's what makes them male. Is the factor a huge problem that you have with patients when you start talking about this hormonal therapy?
Well, it obviously depends how it's explained. Hormone therapy is, first of all, very effective. It's one of the few therapies for solid tumors that has such a profound effect on slowing down the cancer. And so it's a therapy that, yes, it decreases your testosterone, but this is the best treatment often in these circumstances. And so you have to explain that. There's, of course, side effects we'll probably discuss as well that are related to it. It's an amazing therapy in terms of how well it works. In fact, it won the Nobel Prize many years ago for this discovery because it's so effective. So.
Wow. Okay. That sells it.
Wow. Another selling point.
Yeah, no. Under what circumstances would next generation, as we just differentiated a little earlier, in what circumstances would that particular therapy be
addressed? So new therapies which are more potent and are added to hormone therapy are now used in a different way than they were 5 years ago. And so we often use these in patients who present with metastatic disease. Okay. 5-10 years ago, the only therapy some of these patients were getting would be therapy which decreases testosterone. Now we always give patients, virtually all patients at least, a combination therapy where we'll give them something to decrease the testosterone, but another one of these medications which blocks the action of testosterone. And so the double combination works a lot better. This is what the studies have shown in improving survival, patient outcomes, how they feel, and how they do. And so this has become the new standard of care in the last few years for the vast majority of patients.
And for a patient who walks into your office and this is the solution that we propose, what does it look like on a day-to-day? Is it pills? Is it needles? Is it coming to the hospital?
Right. So there are different forms of hormone therapy. The most common form is injections, where we give a drug which acts in a way altering your physiology such that the production of testosterone is stopped. And so this is an injection. It can be given in 1 month, 3 months, 4 months, every 6 months. There's different ways of giving it. But it's given a one-off every periodically like that. The other medications which we're talking about, sort of the next generation hormones, if you will, or the androgen receptor pathway inhibitors, other terms thrown around, these work by a pill that you take. And often it's four pills or two pills that you take once a day, every day. And so that's how it works.
It's almost easier in their mind because it's just something you don't have to really inject. It's something that you...
Yeah, well, the injections are convenient in a sense too, in that you don't have to remember to take your pills. True. But the pills are often put together with other pills, so you can organize yourself with your pharmacist to have it regularly taken.
Now let's look at other options like chemotherapy and explore when that is recommended to patients. Is this only used in the presence of metastases?
So generally speaking, yes. Okay. It's very, very rare, and there's always rare situations that chemotherapy is used in patients without metastases. Yes, it can happen. But by and large, almost all patients who receive chemotherapy have metastatic prostate cancer, which is spread outside and is often causing symptoms. And so again, it's not the patients who come in with localized prostate cancer that get chemotherapy. It's patients usually that have already tried other treatments that then progress to receive chemotherapy after. And again, it's not for every patient, but it is certainly a very effective treatment.
And there's many fears when it comes to chemotherapy from the patients. Are they in the rights to have those fears towards that kind of treatment?
Well, certainly we all know someone who's gone through chemotherapy, and often these patients are very sick. They have advanced cancer, and not all cancers are the same, obviously. So some cancers can progress very poorly, and chemotherapy is used in those patients. And so sometimes there's a bit of confounding with, is this the patient who's got a progressing cancer, which is doing poorly, receiving chemotherapy? A lot of patients who receive prostate cancer chemotherapy actually do fairly well in that they tolerate it. Certainly there are side effects, absolutely. There are risks with it. But if it's done well and it goes well, it does go quite well for many people. And it's for a limited period of time often, where they'll give so many months of treatment and then stop it. And obviously, if it doesn't work, you can stop it earlier. So, you know, I understand how you can be concerned about it, but at the same time, it's an important message that a lot of people do quite well on it. And certainly it's very effective, and we know this.
Would it be combined with other therapies? And if so, can you give us examples?
Sure. So there's different contexts and different chemotherapies which are used. Two of them tend to be used after other treatments have been tried. A newer study in recent years in certain patients, and again, there's a lot of nuance as to which patients are best served by this, but in some patients upfront, instead of giving them a combination regular hormone therapy, if you will, a next generation hormone therapy, in some patients now, we give them three treatments where we'll give them hormone therapy, receptor antagonist, as well as chemotherapy in combination. And this is not everybody, but in select patients, it can be a very good option and improves their outcomes.
It's kind of like killing everything at the same time, because you're pinpointing different things with the different treatments, probably.
Essentially, because we've learned over the course of doing many studies in the last 20 years that you can give a drug that works very well at the end of the disease when things have advanced a lot, and then we do another study, we find out we give it a bit earlier and it works even better. Patient survival is better, their outcomes are better. And now with the most recent studies, we find that basically hitting at the hardest at the beginning gets, in a way, the best bang for your buck down the road. Not always, but in many patients, it can be like that.
And it's interesting how the more we do this research, the more we get the funds, the more our patients get to learn about these different treatments. And at what point in their, because you said all cancers are different, so at what point in their journey is it essential or important or good to power on those different?
Yeah, so certainly there is always different contexts. Patients all have different backgrounds and different cancers in one sense. Even prostate cancer, one cancer is not the same as another one. And so there's a need to personalize the treatments according to the patient, to have good judgment according to experience. And doing studies has helped us refine that. I mean, 20 years ago, it was chemotherapy and hormone therapy, and that was it. We're very fortunate now to have many different options and even more in development. So this is good news for patients, and this is in large part to a lot of research funding, the participation of patients in these research protocols or trials, and we've come a long way in the last 20 years.
Another option is radiation therapy. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. So radiation therapy has different roles. It's used for patients with localized disease, as I mentioned at the beginning, but it's also used in patients with advanced prostate cancer, patients who have metastatic disease. One of the big roles for radiation in these patients is to relieve pain that's related to metastatic disease. So a cancer that's spread to the bone, for example, often can be very painful and can cause localized pain. And radiation is a very effective treatment to decrease that pain and to essentially slow down the cancer where they're targeting the radiation. So that's a very good use of radiation in advanced prostate cancer patients. There are other contexts which has now been used as well. Even in patients with metastatic disease, some patients are eligible for radiation to their prostate, for example, and that's a recent development in the last few years. Again, there is selection of patients. It's not for everybody, but that has a certain role in many patients these days as well.
The ProCure support line often gets questions and calls related to immunotherapy. So what exactly is that, and when would it be used in advanced treatment, if so, in advanced prostate cancer treatment, I mean?
Sure. So immune therapy or immunotherapy is sort of the thing which is the la mode these days. And it works basically to convince your own immune system to better attack the cancer. And there are different forms of it. There was actually one form of immune therapy which developed, which never came to Canada because it was very expensive. The newer immune therapies, which are used in kidney cancer, lung cancer, and many, many other cancers, have been tried in prostate cancer. Unfortunately, to date, they have not really showed much benefit for patients. They're not approved. There may be a very small minority who might get some benefit, but by and large, in advanced prostate cancer, immunotherapy has not hit the mainstream. It's not in use widely, but more research, there may be a role for some patients, but currently it's not used for advanced prostate cancer.
A la mode, but not for us.
Not yet, perhaps. Again, personalization is needed to really select, but by and large, and not at this stage.
What about targeted therapies, and how does that differ from other treatment approaches?
So, I mean, targeted therapy, you're referring to a therapy which is based on the molecular science, if you will, to target something. In a sense, we have that with the androgen receptor inhibitors. The next generation hormone therapy specifically targets the androgen receptor and the axis of testosterone. So that is a type of targeted therapy. There's other targeted therapies that are used in kidney cancer that have been tried in prostate cancer, which we don't use. There are newer therapies which target DNA repair, the way cells repair themselves, and that's been found to be useful and is now in use in some prostate cancer patients. And so this is the personalization of care, which is advancing with these research studies. So there is one that's now used in advanced prostate cancer, but you have to have a certain mutation. So those who have the mutation benefit from the therapy. And this is certainly an improvement for those patients.
So it's very specific.
It is very specific. Currently, if you don't have this specific mutation in your tumor or before you had the tumor, then you don't get offered it because the benefit is less. So in a sense, it's very specific, but it works for those patients.
Okay, nuclear therapy or radiopharmaceutical drugs. That is what I would like to learn about now. It's a big word, but it is emerging in the treatment of advanced prostate cancer.
Sure, and this is a very exciting area. This is referring to radiation in a sense that's localized. Okay. So instead of aiming your radiation beam at the target, you attach it to a drug or a molecule that then attaches to a specific target on the cancer.
Oh.
So you can do a scan, for example, that will identify, is this tumor expressing this protein or this molecule? And then you design your drug such that it attaches to this molecule. And as it attaches to the molecule, it brings along with it what we call a payload or a, you know, what's in the back of the truck sort of thing with it. And that is radiation. And so that radiation then destroys the cancer as the cell attaches to the cancer. And this is the basis of what we call radiopharmaceuticals. And this has been very helpful in prostate cancer. It's now approved in Canada and is expanding its use.
It's very targeted. Is it something that can be used earlier in a patient's cancer's journey, or you wait till...
So that's a good question. As of now, we don't have the definitive answer to that. Okay. There are studies ongoing addressing that. But in Canada right now, it's only used really at the end of stage disease for patients who are eligible.
And you were saying that some of them are in Canada. Can we expect this type of therapy and drug to be much more prevalent in the future?
Well, it was approved by Health Canada about a year or two ago.
Wow.
And so it is available in centers. It is a lot of work because nuclear medicine, as we call it, is complicated. There's a lot of work to have your hospital ready for it. But it is in use in most of the large centers now, and it's expanding and developing, but it takes time to implement this and get it ready. And it's not for everyone either, for sure. Many patients are not able to finish the treatment. There's some very good responses documented. It's certainly becoming more and more part of our clinical norm now, but this is something that's toujours en développement, as we say in French. It's always in development, and we're working on that.
And I guess it's like targeted therapy where you have to do a lot of pre-research to find out if they have the right molecule, if they have the right respondent to what's in the backload of that truck to attack that.
So yeah, there's a lot of work that goes into figuring out, first of all, the idea. Someone developed this idea, it works, then you have to try it out in patients. And then there's even more work, as I say, just the practical implications of organizing it, of how your hospital is going to run it. It's complicated. But for patients, it's a great option when it's available and when it works to help.
I have a last question for you. I am concerned or just curious about long-term prospects for advanced prostate cancer, and what factors can actually influence not only the survival of life, but the quality of life when it comes to advanced prostate cancer.
Sure. So we've made great strides, as I said, in the last 20 years in improving not only quantity of life, but also quality of life. And this is the work of many people across many domains. And so I think there's more coming, I guess, is the short answer. But it takes work, it takes investments, it takes people to participate. But things are improving, and I hope to see that things improve more.
And if I were to be sitting in your office with my father, brother, husband, son, whoever, that is at that stage, how much I want to comfort them, and I want to be able to reassure them. How much time does it take for us to find that solution for a particular patient?
Well, for each particular patient, things vary. So yeah. I can't give a blanket answer for that. But certainly, it takes incremental gain often. You know, it'd be nice to find the magic bullet, but it's often finding several things that improve. And I think the prostate cancer has done that in the last decade or so, where, you know, we extend life, the average life expectancy by year. We do another study, we extend it by another year, another study, another 6 months. And this adds up over time. And so now, if we were to compare the prognosis of someone with advanced prostate cancer to 20 years ago, it's more than double. It's significantly improved. And so I think there's definitely room for more improvement.
And many may feel discouraged if they hear, okay, now let's try this, or okay, now let's try that. It's not necessarily because the first treatment is not working. It may be because research is showing that this may be working better with this or in combination with this. So yes. Not to get discouraged.
No, I think sometimes changing different treatments, I mean, the ultimate goal is to try and develop this into more of a chronic disease than something that's life-limiting in terms of quality of life, as you mentioned, in terms of quantity of life. And it takes work, and glad to be a part of it. So,
Dr. Torin, thank you so much for sharing this enlightening information. I'm sure our listeners truly appreciated it. And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us. We hope this webinar has been instructive and helpful. If you have any questions or concerns, please contact our free and confidential support line available 7 days a week. ProCure's dedicated team of nurses is there to assist you, and we'll do it with pleasure. You can also visit our website. Once again, thank you, and thank you.
Thank you for listening to Prostate Cancer Without Taboo, a podcast produced by ProCure. To learn more about prostate cancer and our podcast episodes, visit procure.ca.